Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry, Reaction Monday is powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling and by Focus, sparkling water with a spark, naturally caffeinated, by the way, no sugar, no calories, no crash, no nothing. Sparkling water with a spark, replace your coffee with it, drinkfocus.com. So, I got to say this, what a great Titanless football weekend. The Titans didn't lose, which is always good.
That's always a good sign.
The Ravens lost, which was good. The Chiefs won, which isn't the end of the world. It would have been nice if they had lost. But the Ravens lost, so now the Titans move up a peg. And now you got New England-Buffalo tonight. I think it's going to be a great game. I'm very excited. Julio Jones has returned to practice. We got a lot of Titans on the show on a Titanless Reaction Monday. But I want to start on this. I got to tell you, I have an ESPN Plus membership. I think this is what the, what time is this of me mentioning that I have an ESPN Plus membership?
Like millionth?
Like I should be sponsored by ESPN Plus, honestly, how much I talk about it. But I have become obsessed with watching all these documentaries and sports series. And I mean, I sat in bed on Saturday. I had a long night on Friday, so I sat in bed for a lot of the early part on Saturday. And I watched, like, this Barry Bonds hour-long documentary. And I forgot how much of a jerk Barry Bonds was. But I think the thing about these sports documentaries is that now that I'm in my 30s, it's like a yearning for the past. Like, The Last Dance. Every time I watch it, I'm like, my goodness, I remember how much I loved Michael Jordan back in the 90s. How much I loved the NBA back then when they had all these great players and there was less drama and there was less BS and there was less shoe deals and there were, you know, they wore the iconic jerseys and oh, I miss it. And I'm watching the new Tom Brady series, Man in the Arena. And I'm like watching this thinking, this is the football Michael Jordan. Tom Brady's greatest of all time. I have a friend who's got an 8-year-old son. He didn't like Tom Brady. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You don't like Tom Brady. You're going to remember getting to watch the greatest player who ever played. In 20 years, your kids will be like, Dad, Dad, look at this quarterback. And you'll say, oh, no, son, he's not like Tom Brady. So watch the SEC Championship game Saturday. What a clinic put on by the greatest coach of all time, Nick Saban. I want to start there. I mean, I thought it was going to be a good game. I begged all of us on Friday, hey, watch the games. Be excited about the games. The games should be good. Don't get too caught up in recruiting or, well, we know this team's going to beat that team or what. Don't get too caught up in that. Enjoy the games this weekend. I thought Baylor-Oklahoma State was a good game. I enjoyed that. I was glad Oklahoma State lost. I can't stand their coach. But I was waiting for Alabama-Georgia. I think I picked Georgia on the show on Friday.
We both did.
I thought Georgia was going to beat Alabama. And as I'm watching this game, I thought to myself, Jared, even you, the most ardent Nick Saban defender and supporter of all time, even you underestimated the greatness of Nick Saban. That's what Saturday was about. That's what the whole weekend, from a college football standpoint, was about. Michigan knocked off Iowa. Cincinnati got in the playoff. Goodbye, Mike Gundy. Thank God. But the reality is, the biggest thing that everybody was talking about was what Alabama did. And you could flip coaches. You put Saban on Georgia's sideline, you put Kirby on Alabama's sideline, and you're going to get the exact same result, only it's Georgia holding up the trophy instead of Alabama. We underestimated Nick Saban, at least the two of us did. Nick Saban even said it after the game was over, talking about the rat poison and how this time everybody underestimated Alabama.
You guys gave us a lot of really positive rat poison. The rat poison that you usually give us is usually fatal. But the rat poison that you put out there this week was yummy.
It's Saban just holding court. But here's the truth. We all underestimated him. He spent the whole week telling his players, nobody believes in you. Nobody thinks we can beat Georgia. Nobody's giving us a chance. But the truth is, we weren't giving him a chance. And we should have given him a chance. He owns Atlanta. He went in there in 2002 when he was a little-known coach at LSU with Matt Mauk as his starting quarterback, and he beat the number two team in the country, the Tennessee Volunteers, and kept them out of the national championship game. And that Tennessee team was stacked. The 2002 Vols, I will always contend. Excuse me, 2001. The 2001 Vols, I will always contend. That is the last great team Tennessee had. And Nick Saban, with Matt Mauk at quarterback, Rohan Davey at quarterback, got hurt. Matt Mauk went in the game. LSU beat Tennessee. He's the same Nick Saban who, against Urban Meyer and Tim Tebow and Percy Harvin and Aaron Hernandez before he was a serial killer, or at least before we knew it, and that great Florida defense, the defending national champions, embarrassed them the exact same way he embarrassed Georgia this weekend. It's the same Nick Saban who 3 years ago went to a backup Jalen Hurts and put him in the game, and they came from behind and they beat the Georgia Bulldogs in the SEC championship game. It's the same guy. And he's the greatest coach of all time. He's a great strategic coach. You cannot outcoach him with a game plan. He is a great motivator when it comes to being a coach. He is relentless in how he coaches his coaches. And there is something about him that he can give his guys. We see all the videos of him yelling at guys on the practice field and Saban grabbing face masks and shaking it up. And yet he's the guy who can give his entire team confidence. I don't know how Alabama could have had confidence going into that game. I've said this all season. For Alabama, they've stunk. For what we expect of Alabama in 2021, they have stunk. They lost a game they shouldn't have to Texas A&M. Florida's not very good, played them close. LSU's not very good, played them close. Auburn's not very good by Alabama standards, played them close. This did not look like an Alabama team. But somehow Saban gets them to Atlanta and throws out the best game plan, motivates his guys, has them ready. And not only that, but he intimidated the other team too. Georgia was up 10-0, and I tweeted out, I said, Alabama's got to answer here. And if Alabama doesn't answer, it's going to be a long day. Alabama goes right down the field, touchdown. Alabama gets the ball back. Alabama immediately scores another touchdown. They're up 14-10. And in my house in Green Hills, not Atlanta, not Marietta, not DeKalb County, not Chattanooga, but in my house, 4 hours away, I could feel Kirby Smart melting on the sidelines. Did you feel Kirby melt on Saturday?
Oh, 100%.
I mean, you could smell the crap in his pants. He was so, he could not, once Alabama made it 14-10, he knew who his daddy was, and he was like, oh no, here we go. Oh no, not again. Not like the national championship game. Not like the SEC championship game. The only way Kirby can get to the national championship game is if he doesn't have to play. The only way he wins the SEC title is if he doesn't have to play Saban. Because that's what happened in 2018 when they went to the national championship game, or excuse me, 2017. They went to the national championship game because they played Auburn. But it's different when it's Nick Saban. Nick Saban can, he literally can intimidate an entire team. He melted Kirby Smart. He melted Stetson Bennett. He melted that legendary Georgia defense that we talked about. The Georgia defense being as good as the LSU offense from 2 years ago. They didn't all of a sudden wake up in their beds in Atlanta, roll out on the field, and decide not to play well. That's Saban. That's Saban. And I just looked at this game and I thought, even me, the biggest Nick Saban homer there ever was, even me, I underestimated him. And when you watch it, you're reminded, no, this is the greatest coach of all time. And this is what the greatest coach of all time does. What a game plan by Nick Saban. What a just the fear tactic down 10-0 to a defense that had allowed like 14 points to every team all season. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. And look, Bryce Young's going to win the Heisman, and the wide receiver is unbelievable like all the other wide receivers. But I've seen this Alabama team play this year. I didn't see the offensive line blocking like that. I didn't see the defense smothering people like they were on Saturday. And not only that, the game plan, the one thing I had said about Georgia is they have no quarterback. I've said it all year. They're trying to win the old school Alabama way with no quarterback. Like how Nick Saban won with John Parker Wilson and he won with Greg McElroy and those guys. Not Tua, not Jalen Hurts, not Bryce Young, Jacob Coker, how he won with him. But you're not going to beat Nick Saban doing that. You don't beat Nick Saban with no quarterback. What did Saban do? He took away the run and he put the ball in the kids' hands. And Stetson Bennett had no chance because he doesn't belong on the field with those Alabama players. And when you look back to the teams that beat Nick Saban, you better have a quarterback. Johnny Manziel in Texas A&M, they beat Nick Saban. Deshaun Watson at Clemson, they beat Nick Saban. Trevor Lawrence at Clemson, they beat Nick Saban. The one team you can argue didn't have a great quarterback that beat Saban was Ohio State. And that was with Cardale Jones. And for like a four-week period, Cardale Jones played like the number two pick in the NFL draft. So you're not going to walk into a game like that with no quarterback and go beat Nick Saban. But I just think we needed a refresher. I don't know if Brady winning a Super Bowl was that way last year, where you watch the guy win six in New England and all of a sudden he wins one at Tampa Bay and it's like, oh my goodness gracious. Here's Tom Brady winning another Super Bowl. He's the greatest of all time. I don't know if we needed that when Jordan came back from basketball and it was like, or from baseball, and it was like, okay, you know, now Michael comes back, but, oh, he beats the Sonics. He goes out and beats the Jazz and he beats them. Oh, wow, Michael's great. But I just hope that you all feel, after that game Saturday, I just hope you all feel the exact same way that I remember feeling as an 8-year-old when Michael Jordan hit the shot at Utah and held the follow through. And Bob Costas had a great line. If that's the last shot in the career of the greatest of all time. Now, I don't think this is going to be Nick's last game. And I don't think this is going to be Nick's last great game. But I was sitting there Saturday thinking, oh my God, what a treat to get to watch Nick Saban. He's the greatest coach of all time. And on Saturday, he made everybody remember it. Oh my goodness, I could not get over it. What a performance. 615-737-1025. I've been told our phones are down, which is not good for a Reaction Monday, but we do have our text line. So go to the text line. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. And Georgia, the other side of this. Oh, Ian says he thinks the phones are back.
Woohoo.
So get in. 615-737-1025. Georgia and Kirby. We'll get to them next. And I got another take, by the way. I got a lot of Big Ten fans that are friends. I don't know why I have friends who like Big Ten football, but apparently I do. And I got to get to some of the things they're saying after this weekend as well. So, I mean, college football, we're going to start on that. And again, it was a great weekend of NFL, which we're going to get to, and the ramifications for the Titans, and Julio Jones might be back and all of that. We're starting on college today, and I just want to start with the ode to Nick Saban. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Reaction Monday is powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling and Focus Energy. Again, Focus is sparkling water with a spark. Drinkfocus.com. Let me tell you about my friends at Focus. That's right. I absolutely love them. You see, I got my Focus right here. A buddy of mine, P-H-O-C-U-S, a buddy of mine was in town last weekend, and he was looking around the house. He's like, you got any coffee? And I don't drink coffee. So I'm like, no, I don't have any coffee, but I got a Focus. And he downed a Focus, and he was like, I love it. And I'm telling you, everybody has felt that way. They are available now at your local Publix, or you can get them online. Drink Focus, P-H-O-C-U-S, drinkfocus.com. They got a full lineup of flavors, including four new flavors that are outstanding, and you can get them delivered right to your door. Enter promo code GAME, G-A-M-E, at checkout for 15% off your first order. Focus is sparkling water, but it's got that caffeine spark, the natural tea caffeine. So you get all that energy without sugar, calorie, or crash. You'll see Rick Pitino on the sidelines coaching basketball, and he's got a Focus. You'll see me hosting the radio show, I've got a Focus. You'll see Katie George on the sidelines for ESPN, she's got a Focus. Drinkfocus.com. Focus is also, again, available at your local Publix. That's P-H-O-C-U-S on the web at drinkfocus.com.
Here comes the blitz. Down the middle and on the fly. Jameson Williams, extra speed, on the gas and gone. Touchdown. Just like that, Alabama with the answer.
Well, I'm extremely proud of our coaching staff, our players, the entire organization. We've probably had to overcome more adversity, and this team has had to endure and have more resiliency from a competitive standpoint than probably most of the teams that we've ever had. And I'm really proud of them for that. Also, the competitive character that they have.
There you go. That was Nick Saban on Saturday, the greatest coach of all time. And Caroline Fenton doesn't like Nick Saban. She's the only person I know that is a SEC football fan who does not like Nick Saban. Ian, you remember the discussion we had Friday, right, about Caroline saying that most of the SEC doesn't like Nick Saban?
I do remember that.
Okay, so I asked my friend who's an Arkansas fan. She's also a doctor.
Uh-huh.
And I said, do you...
Does that make her more qualified for liking Nick Saban?
Yes. Do you like Nick Saban? And she said yes. And then said, like, it's not like Lane Kiffin, Bobby Petrino, or Urban Meyer, who most everybody kind of dislikes.
And it would be for different reasons. Like, I dislike Urban Meyer for different reasons why I dislike Nick Saban. I have the utmost respect for Nick Saban.
Not the utmost respect for
fingers and buttholes.
Okay. I asked my friend who's a Florida fan if he liked Nick Saban. He said yes. I asked my friend who's a Mississippi State fan who said yes. I texted my buddy who works at LSU, and he said he likes Nick Saban. You're the only person who doesn't like Nick
Saban. So out of five people that you asked.
You're the one.
I'm the one.
Yes.
And so out of all five people.
Ian likes Nick Saban. I like Nick Saban.
Are you two SEC fans?
I would say I'm an SEC fan.
No, I'm not necessarily.
First of all, I grew up a Vanderbilt fan. And when you grow up a Vanderbilt fan, what that really means is, and this was when Tennessee was good, that means you grow up rooting against Tennessee. So just like how everybody with their dad or their grandpa or their, you know, my daddy watched the Auburn game every week and we love Auburn and go Auburn. My dad and I watch Tennessee every week and we root against them. So it was one week, go LSU. The next week it was go Florida. The next week it was go Georgia. So I think that makes you more of an SEC fan than the average SEC fan, because the average SEC fan is rooting for their own team.
Whereas so you are more of an SEC fan than I am.
Sure. Because when you're
okay.
Because I'll put it to you like this. Other than Tennessee, growing up, I don't care who it was, if they were an SEC team and they were playing in the championship against a non-SEC team, I was rooting for the SEC team. Every time.
I think that's also kind of normal. You know, growing up, I was a huge Tennessee fan, and if it was an SEC team, I would root for the SEC team,
Florida?
And I still do that now. Yeah, even Florida, even Alabama. When Alabama played Notre Dame, I wanted Alabama to win so badly in that national championship. I think that's just an SEC thing.
So that makes me an SEC fan, and as an SEC fan, I think that most everybody, except for you, likes Nick Saban. Now,
I would say that you are wrong.
Even though
but,
you don't like Nick Saban, your thoughts on Saban's coaching performance on Saturday?
I mean, I said it on Saturday morning in Southeastern Carolinas. I said, there are two ways that Alabama could win. One, Bryce Young can just win him the game. And two, Nick Saban is just that kind of coach. Mm. That if, you know, all season, you could look like a team that wasn't as good as the team that you were going to have to beat. All season, I don't think that Alabama looked like the best team in the SEC. That looked like the best team in the country, because they hadn't. But if there's any coach in college football that can coach their team up, that can execute a game plan where they can beat a team that all season has looked better than them, it's Nick Saban. And that's exactly what he did. The game plan. I mean, Alabama's offensive line. Where was that line all season?
Nope.
Where was that blocking all season? Just being able to completely shut down Georgia's defense, the best defense that I had seen in a very long time. Georgia had given up 17 points, the most points they've given up all season, 17 points to the Vols. Alabama scored 24 in the second quarter alone. That is just outcoached, using the talent that you have, using the talent to be able to break down their biggest strengths and capitalizing on their biggest weaknesses. That's exactly what they did. It's because of Nick Saban.
I think the three things Saban did. One is I think he decided, just like what the Titans did with Mac Jones a couple weeks ago, he said, I'm putting the ball in Stetson Bennett's hands. Like, Stetson Bennett has to beat me. Because we all knew going into this game, he wasn't Joe Burrow. He wasn't Deshaun Watson. He wasn't Johnny Football.
He never needed to be.
But Nick was going to make him.
Uh-huh.
Like, okay, if you're going to beat me, and I've been there. When I worked in women's basketball, we'd have scouting reports, and we'd say, hey, if this girl hits this shot from this spot, we lose. And I think Saban went in there saying, if Stetson Bennett throws for 285 yards, doesn't turn the football over, we're going to lose. But let's make him do it. And they did, and he couldn't. The other side of it is, I don't know if Saban is just so intimidating that this would happen to every coach, but there is something about Kirby Smart where Nick Saban absolutely melts him. And I thought Kirby's decision to go for it down by 14 in the third quarter showed you exactly where Kirby's head was. I mean, it's like simple. It's fourth and nine. They throw to the end zone on third and nine, and it's like, well, if you're going to throw to the end zone on third and nine, then you're going to kick the field goal, because if not, you're going to throw it short for about 5 yards to set up a fourth and four or a fourth and three and go from there. So they take a shot to the end zone on third down. It's fourth and nine, and he leaves the quarterback who hasn't completed a good pass all day out there to go play. What? Kirby was totally out of his element. And this is now, like, what, the third time in a row? I mean, I'm taking away last year's game where I thought Alabama was just a lot better than Georgia. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, Alabama-Georgia SEC title game, Kirby runs that stupid fake punt for Justin Fields. They lose. Jalen Hurts comes in relief, and they lose. Total choke job by Georgia. National championship the year before. Tua comes in the game at halftime, goes to overtime. Total choke job by Georgia. There's something about Kirby that he just cannot handle Nick Saban. And the other thing that I have about Saban with this is when it comes to giving credit. Like, remember a Titans game where I gave all the credit to Derrick Henry and everyone's like, well, you got to give credit to this guy. You got to give credit to that guy. You got to give it. I'm like, no. Bill O'Brien's the offensive coordinator. Best offensive game all season long against the Georgia Bulldogs. We're going to give Bill O'Brien credit for that because I've seen Saban have a lot of different offensive coordinators, and I've seen Saban do that to a lot of different people. Bryce Young's going to win the Heisman off of this game on Saturday. And Bryce Young's good. And I think Bryce Young is like the perfect mixture of Jalen Hurts and Tua. It's like you take those two guys, put them together, it's Bryce Young. But do you think Nick Saban could have done that with another quarterback? I do.
Yeah.
I do, because I've seen Nick Saban do it with that. Saban every year loses his defensive coordinator. Every other year loses his offensive coordinator, loses all these recruits, goes out and brings in new one, has to bring in all new coaching staffs because he loses his guys to either get better jobs elsewhere or one of his assistants goes to be a head coach and they take half the Alabama staff with them and he has to go get a whole new staff and he has to bring them all back in and he has to teach them how to recruit Alabama and he has to, and guess what? It's the same every time. That game on Saturday, that game was exactly, in my opinion, like the 2009 SEC championship game where Nick Saban beat Florida and Urban Meyer and Tim Tebow was in tears on the sideline at the end of the game. Where you respected Georgia, you respected Florida in that game. They were the defending national champions. They had a great coach, a great team. They had a bunch of guys go to the pros. They could have won the national championship. And Saban out-game planned them and just beat them to a pulp. And that's exactly what he did Saturday. And I can't get over it from Saban. I can't. And the other side of it has to be the Kirby side, which is, how is it that in a four-year period, you could have the best team in college football two of the 4 years, and no matter what you do, you can't get around Nick Saban?
I mean, that's not a problem exclusive to Georgia.
It's
a problem.
Who else has had, like, Dabo's had, you know, over a four-year period, had two teams that were probably the best team in the country, and he beat Nick. Yeah, yeah. He's beat Nick twice.
Yes. I mean, Urban, Nick Saban is beatable.
Urban in 2014, and that, you look at that 20, you look at 2014 Alabama, 2014 Ohio State, game was Sugar Bowl. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at the rosters. They're all in the NFL. Everybody, except for the quarterbacks, everybody is in the NFL from that game. You had Derrick Henry versus Ezekiel Elliott. You had Joey Bosa. You had Amari. I mean, like, it's just unbelievable. Like, if you look at those teams. And, I mean, I go back to this, and I'm like, Urban lost to Nick, but Urban's beaten Nick. Dabo's lost to Nick, but Dabo's beaten him. Nick. Jimbo beat Nick this year.
Mm-hmm.
Kirby can't beat him. Gus Malzahn. Gus, I mean, for all the his shortcomings at Auburn, which I don't think Auburn should have ever fired him. I think it's total Saban jealousy that they fired him.
But he beat Saban last year.
He beat Saban.
2 years
Gus, ago. Gus beat Saban. Almost every other year it feels like Gus beat Saban. And yet Kirby just can't do it. And I don't know if this is a Kirby thing. And I don't think it's... I saw somebody text the text line, Kirby can't coach. Well,
that's not true.
I think it is when he's facing Nick, he can't coach.
Or is it a postseason thing?
I think it's a Nick thing. Because he didn't have that problem against Auburn in the SEC title game. And he didn't have that problem when he came back against Oklahoma in the Rose Bowl. But he gets into the championship game against Nick and he can't. And I don't know if it's that Kirby. It's one of two things. It's either Kirby gets scared of Nick Saban, which I think is possible, or Nick knows him so well that Nick knows exactly what buttons to push.
I think it's the latter. I think it's Nick Saban knows Kirby Smart very well. Nick Saban is going to watch, Nick Saban and Nick Saban coach teams are going to watch more film of their opponent than probably any other team, especially when you are knocking on the door of being eliminated from the college football playoff. I think that Nick Saban just knows what to do to win games. And I think that he studied that Georgia team, and I think that he knows Kirby Smart well enough that he knows how to beat him. Being afraid of Nick Saban, like, maybe there's some truth there, but I just don't buy it.
You didn't feel it Saturday?
I don't buy it completely.
Oh, I felt it.
Maybe Kirby started to get stomped down and stomped down and stomped down, but I don't think he went into that game afraid of Nick Saban.
I don't think he
stays up at night worrying about Nick Saban.
Oh, I bet he stays up at night worrying about Nick Saban. But I bet you Kirby, when he looks in the mirror, he can't admit to himself.
He won't tell himself.
That he's got a Saban problem. But he's got a Saban problem. I mean, I'll tell you, I definitely felt like Kirby choked this game. Like when he went for it on that fourth down, fourth and nine with a quarterback that can't throw.
Yeah. I feel like that's you losing your football IQ because you just want so badly to capitalize off of an opportunity.
You lost control of the game.
You need to step back and you need to do what is best for your game.
You were so afraid of Saban that you lost control of the game, which most coaches don't. Harbaugh yesterday, I could not believe it watching the Steeler game when they went for two.
Oh my gosh.
Harbaugh loves to go for it.
I don't.
And he is a go for it, go for it, go for it with the Ravens. In fact, they lost a playoff game to the Titans because they went for it twice. They didn't get it.
And it worked out for them earlier this season.
But you get the best kicker. So all you got to do, it wasn't like Ben was lighting it up yesterday. All you have to do is get a one stop in overtime and then get the ball to the 40 and you win. That's all you have to do. But Harbaugh got, you know, he got taken away with it and Kirby got taken away with it. And I think Kirby is so scared. I mean, if I'm Kirby, I am sending Cincinnati every little info packet that I have developed over the last week getting ready for Alabama. I send all the film cut-ups so you don't have to, hey, Cincinnati, get a head start on preparation for Alabama because I don't want to see them in the championship game if I'm Kirby. Let's get to your phones next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Plus, I got some Big Ten friends that seriously got to bring it down a notch. We'll get to that as well. Stillman & Company Reaction Monday, powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling and by Focus. Sparkling water with a spark. We're going to give away some Preds tickets later for Thursday night's game, later today in the show. And we will be excited about that. Let me tell everybody, do you want to win a pair of tickets to see the Predators take on Calgary next Tuesday night? And by the way, this game is next Thursday, not Thursday. But do you want to win a pair of Preds tickets to see the Predators take on Calgary on Tuesday, December 14th? Head over to YouTube and subscribe to the 102.5 The Game YouTube page and enter for your chance to see the Predators and the Flames. Once you subscribe, email us at promotions@cromwellmedia.com with your YouTube handle. One winner will be chosen on Monday, December 13th. Stillman & Company, it's ESP at 102.5 The Game.
And two guys that worked together for a long time, good friends, except when they get together in this building, it's more fun for Nick than it is for Kirby. Congratulations to Alabama.
There you go. More fun for Nick than it is for Kirby. I'd say that's probably about right.
I would say that sounds right.
I'd say that's probably about right. By the way, Caroline Fenton has released a poll on Twitter for SEC fans whether or not they like Nick Saban. It should be noted, how many Twitter followers do you think you've garnered since you started working here?
I would say probably about 1,000.
Okay, and how many do you think you have?
I think I have a little over 3,000.
Okay, so about 1/3 are Nashville people.
Uh-huh.
And the rest are like LSU and St. Louis people.
Probably so, yeah.
Okay.
Or just like people, just random people.
Okay, what are the results right now of the current poll?
Right now, the current poll, 65% yes, 35% no.
Yes. Nick Saban, I told you it'd be over 50% favorable versus unfavorable.
Well, I put it out.
Nick's popular.
I put it out less than 15 minutes ago.
It ain't going to change.
I mean, we have a few texters in the text line that say, no, we do not like Nick Saban. Right. And I think that it depends on the fan base.
And there are
because
some
if you're an Alabama fan, obviously, yes, you do like Nick Saban.
There are some people that don't like pizza. I don't know how these people exist. I don't know why these people exist. I don't know how you can live your life without liking pizza. But there are some people that are going to be different and be like, actually, I don't like pizza. When literally everybody likes pizza.
But that's not, Nick Saban isn't pizza. He's not a
He's
super,
close to
no, he is not. You just love him. He's not a super likable guy.
I consider Nick a friend. I do love him. I love him. Let's go to your phones. 615-737-1025 Reaction Monday, powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling and Focus. Sparkling water with a spark. Drink focus.com. Scott is going to kick us off. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, I think you veered into it there toward the end of the last segment. There's nothing that Saban did great coaching-wise. It's Kirby. It's in Kirby's head with Alabama. It's just, you know, he chokes. All he had to do was just try to generate some type of pressure on the pass rush, and he's got Jordan Davis in there, you know, clogging the middle, but Alabama's not really a threat to run on them. You know, Auburn has some big guys on the defensive line, too, but they didn't play. Auburn played, you know, their jackrabbit package and, you know, got after the pass rush. And it's the same thing with Nick. Nick in Jordan-Hare Stadium. I don't know if you saw him post-game. He was positively giddy about being a 6-16. I mean, maybe one of his national championships, I've seen him that happy. It was just, you know, just a monkey off his back to win in there. And, you know, certain players, certain other people get in, you know, get in the head. Tony Gwynn hit like 350 against Greg Maddux.
Oh,
the
just
rest
killed
of the
Greg Maddux.
Like a 75.
Yeah.
You know, and you're probably too young for this, but.
No, Scott, I will say this, and I appreciate your call. It reminds me, as a kid, and I grew up, you know, in the 90s and the early 2000s, the Boston Red Sox, before they broke the curse, like the year before they broke the curse, they blew it against the Yankees. Pedro Martinez, Grady Little got fired because of it. The Red Sox could not beat the Yankees. And in September of 2004, Pedro Martinez got lit up at Yankee Stadium. And he goes, I don't know what I have to do. Just take my hat off and call the Yankees my daddy. And all of a sudden, you got Yankee fans chanting, who's your daddy at Yankee Stadium? And that's how I feel right now about Kirby and Nick Saban. I think the caller's got a point there. The other thing I will say, though, about the Auburn thing. I don't think Saban has an Auburn problem. Floyd once told me, and I feel like he's got a fairly neutral basis for assessing this. Like, I feel like he's been in probably every big stadium in America, right? Every big college stadium in America.
Probably so.
Because when you're scouting players, I mean, you're going everywhere. He says Auburn is the hardest place for a visiting team to play in America.
Why?
I don't know. He just said it's the hardest. And, like, said it with, like, a definitive, like, you know, I've been to all of them. Auburn's the hardest place to play.
Which is funny because when you think about, let's just narrow it down to the SEC, or even if you're going to look at college football as a whole.
Sure.
When you think about the most menacing environments, I don't think Auburn comes to mind, even in the SEC, much less college football. I mean, I think of, like...
Have you been to a game at Auburn?
I have.
Did you feel like it was different than, say, LSU?
No, I didn't think it was more menacing. I mean, to me, it just felt like another SEC game day experience. It was a great time. I had a great time in Auburn, great people. I never got that vibe of, like, wow. Like, if I was on the field right now, like, I'd be shaking in my boots. But then again, I wasn't on the field. I didn't play a game.
I feel like all those stadiums should be the same. Like, if they're all 100,000 fans, and they're all fans are all crazy, like, all of them, like, Texas A&M,
I think would be menacing.
LSU,
Florida, LSU,
Georgia, Alabama, Auburn. I don't think there's any difference.
But you look at, like, Michigan. I think that'd be a very scary place to play.
But he's convinced Auburn's the hardest place to play in the country. And there is something about the rivalry game element, too, that I think probably exists. What do we have in the text line?
One texter texts in, and this is something that I want to shut down. Texter says, Georgia was a fraud of a number one. They will lose to Michigan by double digits.
Well, you know what? Let them. Okay. So I don't believe that either. Like, I think
that's weak.
Georgia should have made the playoff. I have Big Ten friends that are all just crying in their boots about how dare Georgia get into the playoff when they haven't beaten anybody better than Kentucky. I understand it. I think Georgia's one of the best four teams in the country. Nobody before Saturday was even contemplating the idea that Georgia wasn't the number one team in America. But if you're going to tell me, you watch, Georgia's a fraud, they're going to get beat by double digits, let them. Like, I got to tell you about this playoff. I think we got the four best teams. I think Alabama's going to beat Cincinnati, but I thought Georgia was going to beat Alabama. I thought Ohio State was going to beat Michigan. So what the hell do I know? That's why we play. And so Cincinnati deserves a chance. I'm convinced of it. Cincinnati absolutely deserves a chance. They beat the fifth best team in the country on the road. They deserve a chance to beat Alabama. Do I think they're going to beat Alabama?
No.
But I think they get the chance.
But yeah, that doesn't mean that they don't get the opportunity to at least prove themselves.
And Michigan? Michigan might be the best team in the country. I don't know. I'm not here to tell you they are or they aren't. But we're going to find out. And somebody said, well, maybe it's not fair for Michigan that Michigan's got to go, and in a four-week period, basically, or in a four-game period, in order to win the championship, they have to beat Ohio State, then Iowa, then Georgia, then Alabama.
Well, and that's how it works.
If you want to win the championship, you have to beat good teams. Like, that's the reality.
I mean, there are teams that play Georgia and Alabama every single year when they're not even competing for a national championship. So don't give me that Michigan pity party.
But I'm not, like, if Michigan loses to Georgia, then they're not the best team. And if Michigan beats Georgia and then they beat Alabama, then they're the best team. And if Cincinnati beats Alabama and we get a national championship game that TV would cry about, Georgia and Cincinnati, and Cincinnati wins that, then Cincinnati's the best team. And that's why we play the game. And I'm totally fine with all of it. But yeah, no, I'm with you. Now, look, maybe Georgia's a fraud. I don't know. I'm arguing that they're one of the best four teams in the country today. I think they're one of the best four teams in the country.
I agree with you. And going into yesterday, I thought they were the best team in the country.
We learned that
they have holes.
I have a buddy who's a Michigan fan that was just complaining all morning yesterday about Alabama. And finally, he just says to me, I just don't want to have to play Alabama. I mean, complaining all day about Georgia. He goes, I just want to play Georgia because I think they're going to beat us. Well, like, I mean, I would love for the Titans to not have to play Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs.
But, like, that's how you win a championship.
But if you draw Patrick Mahomes, you have to beat Patrick Mahomes. 615-737-1025. We're back to your phones. Plus, the second best part outside of Alabama, and it may have rivaled Alabama's win, the second best part about Saturday, and maybe it's a me thing and not an everybody thing, but I think it should be an everybody thing. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company on a Reaction Monday, 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Join ESPN The Game Nashville and Newton Motor Group as we team up this holiday season to help children in Middle Tennessee with Souls for Music City. More than 4,000 children in the metro area experience homelessness and over 18,000 in Middle Tennessee. The Game and Cromwell Media are teaming up with Souls for Souls to provide a new pair of shoes to those children who are experiencing homelessness. Souls for Souls works with our schools and community partners to deliver new shoes to kids who need them most. Newton Motor Group will be making a donation to Souls for Souls for every test drive at any of Newton Motor Group's 4 locations now through the end of the year. We need your help to give these kids the joy and confidence they deserve. For more information and to donate, thegamenashville.com/shoes. I had a great conversation or a great email I got today from the marketing director of Souls for Souls. I've already made a donation this year, so I hope you will as well. Stillman and Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. When the Predators have a weekday game this season, it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. If you guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game that night, you win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. Next chance is tomorrow morning at 8:45 a.m. You probably want an Athletic subscription to who Adam Vingan dumps on, and then whoever that is probably is going to score the next day. So there is that. So I got to. We'll get to the phones in just a second. Did you enjoy the Big 12 championship?
That was my favorite game of all of Saturday.
I loved it. You know why I loved it?
So much fun.
Do you know why I loved it?
Why?
Because I hate Gundy.
I know you do.
I hate Gundy.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
And I don't know if it's because when I watch Gundy press conferences, which only come up in clips like that, you know, it's like, right. I'm not going to seek it out,
but right,
that he sounds like such a moron all the time. Or if it's the fact of the way that he kind of lied to Tennessee during the coaching search. Uh-huh. Or if it's the obnoxious mullet that drives me insane. Now, I don't think that's the problem. Or if it's that crazy news channel that he loved so much last year that almost cost him his job, which, by the way, is a wild story
in and
of itself. That is a
wild story.
I think my biggest issue with Gundy is that I don't think Gundy belongs in a discussion with any of the good coaches. So it's like, Harbaugh, we all thought was a great coach. He goes to Michigan, doesn't win any games. We then kind of sour on him as a great coach. Then this year, Harbaugh's like, no, guys, I'm still a really good coach. And it's like, okay.
And I think everyone is happy for him to have found success this season.
Harbaugh's a good
myself
coach.
Included. Happy for him.
Harbaugh's a good coach. Gundy's not a good coach. Gundy is just a sideline mullet.
Is he not a good coach, or does he just bug you?
Well, if he was a
good
coach.
Because he coached his team to be the fifth best team in the country.
No, is Notre Dame fifth?
No, Notre Dame was sixth. When Oklahoma State was 5, and then when Oklahoma State lost, they dropped. I don't know what they are right now, yeah, but now Notre Dame is 5th.
But if he was a good coach, he'd have better plays to call it the goal line at the end of the game. My God.
That was the worst goal line offense I think I've ever seen. I mean, that game was gross.
And it's because Gundy's a doofus.
But also, like,
I'm so glad he lost.
Oklahoma State's quarterback, I can't think of his name.
Sanders.
His name, yes, threw 4 picks.
And they still almost came back to win.
They still almost won the game. That game was so gross, but it was so fun to watch.
I have to say, what a play by the Baylor linebacker. Because I thought the kid on the pitch at the end of the game was going to get to the end zone and score.
I did too. I literally yelled, game over. And then here comes this linebacker out of nowhere. Inch too short.
But I can't stand Gundy. I can't stand him.
That doesn't mean he's a bad coach.
I didn't say he's a bad coach.
He wasn't a good coach.
He's not a good coach. He's just not.
So what's not a good coach?
An average coach.
Okay.
Gundy is.
I think he just bugs you.
No, see, Gundy's got better resources than everybody at the Big 12 that's not Texas or Oklahoma. Because T. Boone Pickens left, you know, whatever that fortune was at Oklahoma State. And, like, I just don't think Gundy's that. I mean, it's like Mark Stoops, right? I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'll say it. Mark Stoops has done an incredible job at Kentucky. For Kentucky. Like, he's done
for
an incredible
Kentucky,
job.
Yeah.
Incredible. Like, I know Mark Stoops. Mm-hmm. I covered him. I don't think Mark Stoops is a very bright guy. But he's a good coach. You know, like, I think that's... Gundy, I can't do Gundy. I cannot do Gundy. Everything about Gundy, I can't do. I can't do any of it. This is a no-Gundy zone. The mullet... The terrible press conferences.
Yep.
The crazy TV channel. The goal line offense, the flirting with Tennessee.
Our sample size for the goal line offense, to be fair, is one game, but it was bad enough to be labeled bad.
Gundy.
I don't watch a ton of Oklahoma State football, but what I did see on Saturday, worst goal line offense I have ever seen, but that was a fun game to watch.
Good. You go into that new Texas Oklahoma-less Big 12, and then I'll watch real football.
It's going to be gross.
What do we have in the text line?
One texter texts in and says, as a diehard, lifelong Georgia fan, all year I have said that Stetson Bennett is not the guy to get it done. When he's rattled, he resembles Tannehill, forcing the ball in coverages over the middle, turnover prone.
I mean, Stetson Bennett stinks, but we all knew that, right?
We said that all season long, that Georgia's quarterbacks resemble Georgia quarterbacks of the past.
What
Jake
I want
to
know is how
nothing
bad,
special.
How bad's JT Daniels?
Better, because, I mean, he came into the season as the starter. Then got hurt. Yeah, because he started the first two, three games for Georgia. He got hurt. Stetson Bennett came in, and I don't know if it is just like a quarterback battle in practice and Stetson Bennett continues to win.
But it's not like J.D. Daniels threw in that Clemson game. It wasn't like he moved the ball all down the field, up and down on Clemson.
No, but
Clemson's
he did get the
good.
Starting job coming into the season.
Well,
so
I put
know.
Him out there because you're not going to beat Alabama with Stetson Bennett.
And I think that is going to be the problem with Kirby Smart moving forward is if, let's say, they beat Michigan and it's a Georgia-Alabama repeat in the national championship. If Stetson Bennett plays quarterback and JT Daniels is on the sideline healthy, I think all Georgia fans are going to point at Kirby. Like, why didn't you at least give JT Daniels a chance? Why can't you separate from Stetson Bennett?
What else we got?
One texter texts in and says, Saban has been horrible for college football. It's been so boring for the past 10 to 15 years.
How? How is Saban bad for college football?
I mean, I think you can make an argument both ways that, you know, Saban's bad for college football because college football feels like it's decided going into the season. But you can also argue that Saban has been good for college football because he has set a standard for the game that all other coaches try and get back up to.
So,
and look at all look at SEC coaches right now.
Here's
the Saban coaching tree.
So here's where I think Saban's bad for the game is the immense amount of jealousy that the rest of the Southeastern Conference has. Like, Gus Malzahn did a good job at Auburn, but they fired him because he didn't win as much as Saban. Ed Orgeron won a national championship like 22 months ago, and he got fired because he was falling behind what everybody thought LSU should be in comparison to Saban. And now it's like the first second you don't like your coach, it's like fire the coach because everybody wants to be Saban. And Kirby is the example of, see what happens when you make the move. Mark Richt won a lot of games here, but we fired him, and now look at us. And so I think that's probably bad for the SEC, that Saban jealousy syndrome. But as far as, like, Alabama's greatness, you know that when the Yankees or the Lakers or the Cowboys or the when those teams are good, that's good for the sport. Like, that's good. It would be good for baseball to have a World Series instead of the boring Houston Astros. To have the Yankees play the Cubs in the World Series would be good. Do you know what TV desperately wants? What they are just pining for in the offices at ESPN? Michigan and Alabama.
Oh, 100%.
Because the ratings for that would be astronomical. And so, I mean, the highest rated games this year, Ohio State, Michigan, Alabama, Auburn, Michigan. I mean, those are the highest rated games. You can't tell me Saban's bad for the sport. What's next?
Another texter. Well, we have input from Auburn fans and Florida fans both saying that they hate Saban and Alabama. So,
see,
a couple more on my court.
I think if you listen to this show and you like Saban, you're not going to take out your phone to text in that you like Saban. You're just in the car listening to, like, man, Caroline's crazy because she
but
thinks
you
all these
told
don't
me
like Saban.
That out of all the SEC fans, you know, I'm the only one who dislikes Saban.
Right,
I'm the only one,
well,
and I'm not the only one.
Right, but I don't know these people that are texting into the text line. My point is, you know, there's a handful of people in the country that don't like pizza, and if you really hate pizza, you're going to take your phone out to text in 615-737-425. I hate Saban too. I hate Saban.
But
that's what that
there's
is.
There's nothing unlikable about pizza.
What's your bad for you?
Okay, well, other than that.
Pizza's really bad for you.
Well, that doesn't stop me from eating it.
No, because everybody loves pizza. What's your poll numbers on the Nick Saban do people like him poll?
69-31.
That's not changing.
No, that's not.
That's
and you might be right.
That's
you might
Saban.
Be right, but I just happen to come from a school that absolutely despises the man.
Coming up next, good news for the Titans. And boy, was it entertaining. I'll explain next here on Stillman & Company. It's Reaction Monday, powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling and by Focus, sparkly water with a spark. TriStar Moving, they're the presenting sponsors of this show, and they are my official movers. I've been telling you about TriStar Moving for well over a year now. And when I moved, I hated moving, but I used TriStar, and they made the process so simple. That's why their motto is TriStar Movers with five-star service. From the initial phone call to the final signature, moving was a breeze. They offer home protection, so they cover the floors, banisters, railings, door jams, and even the doors themselves. They are always upping the game when it comes to mover training. Everything in my move was done perfectly. I actually was back at the old house that I moved out of, not a scratch anywhere, because TriStar did a fantastic job. Their owners, Garrett and Robert, are true Nashvillians who truly care about helping their hometown. This company is the real deal and on the rise quickly, all because of the standard they hold. So if you're looking to move, give my friends at TriStar Moving a call, 615-640-1219. It's nashvillemoving.org/radio, where they'll give you 5% off your entire move. That's TriStar Moving, 615-640-1219, nashvillemoving.org/radio. Tell them Jared Stillman sent you. For TriStar Moving, my official movers.